waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. He fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Now skip down to verse number 49. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day and this opportunity to be here. And Lord, I do pray that each one of us have come here today for the right reason. I pray that we've all come with a sincere desire in our heart to hear the Word of God. And I do pray that you would help each one of us now to be alert, to be attentive. God, please help us to be able to focus on the Word of God and the message that you have for us. And Lord, I pray for liberty to preach, that I can say exactly what you want said. And I pray you would use it to minister to our hearts, to change our lives, and to bring yourself glory. And I pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to preach a message today titled, The Message You Never Want. The Message You Never Want. And I want to begin by saying, one thing I've learned in 45 years of living on this earth, and especially after more than 26 years of ministry, is the fact that everyone eventually gets the message they never want. We get that message that shakes us to the core, that message that turns our world upside down, the message that causes us, at least for a moment, to question everything we say we believe. Sometimes the message is about ourselves, and sometimes the message is about others. The message may be something along these lines. The doctor says, you have cancer. It's terminal. Your child has Down syndrome. Your husband or your wife is dead. You're being laid off. Your spouse is cheating on you. I want a divorce. Or as in the case with Jairus, your child is dead. That is the message that this man received. If you'll look here once again at the passage that we read, you'll notice in the first few verses we read, it tells us about how his only daughter was sick, and it says she lay a dying. That's what it says in verse number 42. When you drop down to verse number 49, you'll notice it says, while he yet spake, that is, while Jesus yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. That is the message that no parent in their right mind ever wants to get. That is the one that no one ever wants to receive at any time. We never want that phone call to come in. We never want that doctor to make the declaration. We don't ever want to hear that our child is dead. And this story here with Jairus reminds me of Job, a story that we've referenced and talked about numerous times, but I think about Job and what he experienced and how on that day in his life that was so tragic, there was a servant who came to him and said, all 10 of your children are dead. As I've told you before, I can't imagine what it would be like to lose one, let alone 10. And you know that was the message that Job never wanted to hear, and he had received other messages prior to that. One servant after another would come with bad news of different things that had happened. And really all of the messages prior to that message had to do with his financial condition and how he lost pretty much everything that he owned in a single day. But I can promise you, just from being a daddy myself, and those of you in here who are parents, you'll understand, I can promise you none of that stuff shook him like the message, your 10 children are dead. That's the message above all that he did not want. That's the one Jairus did not want. When he first went to the Lord Jesus Christ, he had hope. That's why he went, because he had hope that there was something Jesus could do that would take care of his daughter. But still and yet, he gets the message, thy daughter is dead. Nobody wants that message. Back, a month and a half ago, something like that, my wife and I were traveling down Interstate 65. We passed a young man who was driving a motorcycle. He was a younger man, and he really wasn't going all that fast because we were in the inside, or rather the outside lane, and we passed him. And I remember when we went by him, he looked over into our car, and I waved at the fella, younger man. I don't know how old he was, but he was a younger man. We got on past him going up the interstate, and my wife just happened to look back at the exact time that fella had a horrible wreck on that motorcycle. He got off into the median to the inside, somehow lost control. The motorcycle blew all to pieces and threw him out in the middle of the median. We stopped. Of course, by then, we were done well up the road. We stopped. My wife called 911. Many cars stopped. A lot of people got out and got around the man. The young man died. And I told my wife as we were traveling on down the interstate later, I said, somewhere in this world today, there is a mama or a daddy that's going to get the message that no parent ever wants to get. Amen. Folks, I'm not trying to be all doom and gloom and the bearer of bad news, but I believe it's healthy that we live in reality. You don't do yourself any good by lying to yourself. Reality is that if you have it already, I promise you somewhere down the road you're going to get the message that you never want. You're going to get it. And what I want to do here this morning is show you from the story of Jairus three absolute essentials if we are going to survive and overcome the message we never want. First of all, let me say this. To survive and overcome the message you never want, you've got to have the Savior. You've got to have the Savior. And obviously, if you're here today and you're lost, you need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? And I realize there are people in this world who go through tragedies and they don't have that personal relationship with Christ. And as I've wondered so many times, I honestly don't know how they make it through those tragic situations without Jesus Christ and maintain their sanity. I really don't understand that. And the truth be told, I don't imagine they make it through nearly as well as they might like for others to believe. But what I do know, is that in order to genuinely survive and overcome and have victory in those tragic moments of life, you've got to have the Savior. You've got to have that personal relationship with Him. And those of us that already have that relationship, we got to make sure when something like this happens, whether it's to us or somebody that we love very much, that we don't turn away from our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to look once again right here at this story and notice that, first of all, Jairus took his problem to the Savior. In verse number 40, it says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue." This was a man of some influence, a man of position. And that's the thing about tragedy and sickness and death and all the things that can happen in this life. All of that stuff is of no respect of persons. There are people in this world who have great position that get the diagnosis that no person ever wants to get. There are people that have wealth beyond anything we could ever imagine, and they have a child that is diagnosed with a sickness that shakes them to their core. These types of things are no respecter of person. It doesn't matter if you're black or white, red or yellow, rich or poor, man or woman, saved or lost. Everybody sooner or later gets those messages we never want. All of us have problems. This man of position, this man of influence, a ruler of the synagogue, he comes to Jesus, he falls down at his feet. The Bible says he besought him that he would come into his house. According to Mark's account of this, he asked him specifically if he would come and put his hand on his daughter and heal her of her sickness. Verse number 42 says, "For he had one only daughter, about 12 years old," and that's some of the hard stuff there, isn't it? I don't know how any of y'all feel, but I'm just going to be as transparent and honest with you as I can be. There's things that God allows to happen in this world that absolutely bumfuzzle me. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I don't mean that I have any ill will toward God. That's not what I mean at all. I just simply mean there's things He allows, things that happen. It really is strange to me. And to be quite honest, I don't have an answer as to exactly why He allows that kind of stuff to happen. One thing that's always strange to me, interesting to me, is when you have a little baby or small children, young children that have something happen to them. I don't seem to be as bothered, I guess you might say, when it's older people. I guess maybe I feel like we've had opportunity to live out a lot of years and see a lot of things in life, and maybe I feel like we've done enough. We deserve certain things to happen to us. But I often wonder about little children. Do y'all ever wonder about that? I don't have an explanation. But I do know this. I know that God does everything right. I know that, whether I understand it or not. But he had one daughter, 12 years old, and she lay a dying. The thing I see is that he brought his problem to the Lord, which is always the right thing to do. Amen. No matter what your problem is, the right thing to do is always, always bring that problem to Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "Vain is the help of man." And let's be real about it. In spite of all of their sciences, all of their medicines, all of their advancements in technology, there is only so much and so far that man can go. There's only so much that man can do for people that have problems. But isn't it good to know this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ can take care of any problem we have? Isn't that good to know? He's not limited in his knowledge. He's not limited in his ability. He's not limited in his resources. He can take care of any problem we have. So the right thing to do always is take your problem to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Jairus did. But now here is what I want you to see. Skip on down to verse 49. Even after he took his problem to Jesus, he got the message that no one ever wants. Verse number 49 says, while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. He's already took his problem to Jesus. He did the right thing. Amen. He did the right thing, the best thing, the greatest thing he could ever do for his daughter. He took that problem to Jesus Christ. And in your mind you think, well, he did the right thing, so the Lord's going to honor that and he's going to heal his daughter and nothing else bad's going to happen. But even after he took his problem to Jesus, he still got that message. You ever prayed about something? You ever prayed about something? Only to still get the message that you never want to get? You ever prayed for God to heal you? Go back to the doctor only to find out that the disease has progressed? You ever prayed for somebody else to be healed? Beg the Lord to do it? Go back to the doctor and find out that it's only gotten worse? You ever had situations like that? That's what happens here with this man. He takes his problem to Jesus, and even after he does it, he still gets the message that he didn't want. That's hard. And listen to me carefully. Right here is usually where most people bail out on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where most people get off the bus right here. And I'm not talking about lost people at this point, because the average lost person isn't going to take their problem to Jesus anyway. They're going to try to handle it themselves, because in their pride and arrogancy, they think there's nothing they can't handle, and I'm not going to reach out for help. I can do it myself. I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about saved people. Right here is where most saved people will get off the bus, because they took their problem to Jesus, and they prayed about it, and they begged God to change the situation, and when things doesn't unfold the way they want, they get angry and they get upset in their heart and they don't understand why God did that or allowed that. And this is where they bail out. And I want you to understand this morning, that's exactly what the devil wants you to do. That's what Satan will try to do with these messages we get that we don't want. He'll try to get us to turn our back on the Lord and walk away from our relationship with him. And that's what a lot of people do. A lot of people are just like that bunch you read about in John chapter 6. Sometime when you have opportunity, read John chapter 6, and you'll see there was a whole multitude of people that were following Jesus. And on that particular occasion, the Bible says that they got offended in him. They got offended in Jesus. And it says this about them. It says many, not a few, but many turned back and walked no more with him. Because he didn't say what they wanted him to say or handle the situation the way he wanted it handled, didn't do what they expected in their mind him to do, they got offended with him and they turned and they walked away. And the Bible says they walked no more with him. When they turned away, they never came back, that bunch. And it was so rough that Jesus looked at his own 12 disciples and he said, will you go away also? To Peter's credit, you know what he said? He said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Let me say something to you. Peter wasn't perfect, amen? Made some mistakes just like we all make. But I thank God he had enough sense to know there was nowhere to turn but Jesus Christ. There was no person that could do what Jesus Christ could do. And that's what we have to keep in our mind. That's what we got to understand. The only one. Look, if you turn away from him, where are you going to go? Who in this world can do for you what he can do? It is exactly what Satan wants. He wants you to get upset with God, offended with the Lord, and walk away from him. Because he knows when you walk away, wherever you go, to whomever you go, it will never be as wonderful as it is if you'll stay with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man here, Jairus, I want you to think about this now. He stayed with the Lord. Because look down at verse 51. The Bible says, and when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John. Look at it. And the father and the mother of the maiden. You know what he did? When those people came up and said, don't bother him anymore, your daughter's dead. He didn't get all mad and angry and upset and offended and turn and walk away from Jesus. Jesus spoke to him and he just stayed right there with him. He walked with him all the way to the house. Folks, do y'all realize that because he stayed with Jesus, he got to see the Lord Jesus Christ change his tragedy into triumph? Do you see that? This story has a happy ending. A person stays with the Lord Jesus Christ at times when they get the message they never want. They can see the Lord transform that bad situation into something that's good. I'm not telling you that bad things won't happen. What I am telling you is that Jesus Christ is able to take any tragedy, any problem, any situation and work it around for our good and his glory. That's what he can do. If we'll stay with the Savior. When you get that message you never want, you got to stay with the Savior. I need to move on quickly. Number two, let me say this. Another essential in surviving and overcoming the message you never want is the Scripture. The Scripture. You got to have the Scripture and you got to have the Savior. Three times in this passage right here, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks. Verse number 50, he says, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Verse 52, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. Verse 54, made arise. Three times he speaks. Three times he gives his infallible word to this man and to other people involved in the situation. Folks, if you're going to survive and make it through, when you get the message you never want, you're going to have to stay with the Scripture. And I realize that sounds cliche. I do. I realize that sounds cliche. But I'm telling you this morning, the greatest, y'all listening to me? The greatest resource we have on this earth, I'm talking about something tangible. Something tangible that we can put our hand on, that we can put into our mind, that we can put into our heart. The greatest resource we have is the Word of God. Nothing greater than that. There's nothing else you'll ever listen to, and I'm not against listening to certain recordings and certain speeches and talks that people give. I'm not against reading other books and that sort of stuff. You can get some help. You can get some blessing from those sort of things. But I'm telling you, the greatest resource you have at your disposal is the Word of God. And there is nothing greater that you will ever listen to. There's nothing greater you will ever read. There is nothing greater than the Word of God when you're going through times like we're talking about here. You've got to stay with it. You've got to read it. You've got to search it. You've got to saturate your whole being with the Word of God. The Bible says this. The Bible says that he sent his word and healed them. He sent his word and healed them. Now, I do believe that the Lord can use his word to heal us physically. I believe that. But y'all understand there's more than one way to be healed, right? There's other ways we need to be healed. And when you get a message you never want, one way that you need to be healed is emotionally, perhaps mentally, psychologically. Because when you get a tragic message that you never want to get, man, it just turns you upside down, inside out. It shakes your very core on the inside. And you have so many questions and so many emotions and so many feelings that maybe you've never had before. You need the healing of the Word of God in times like that. God can send his word and heal you, not just physically, but emotionally and mentally and psychologically. The Bible says, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you are spirit and they are life. The Bible says, listen to me now, the Bible says all things are upheld by the word of his power. All things are upheld. You know what is hard to do when you're going through something tragic? One thing that's hard to do is just to keep your feet under you. Amen? Just keep your feet. And I'm not necessarily talking about physically keep your feet, but just to be able to stand and make it through. Just to keep your feet under you when you're going. You know something that can keep your feet under you in times like that? The Word of God can. It can hold you up. All things are upheld by the Word of His power. The Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We have a demonstration right here before us in the text of the power of the Word of God. Look at this now. Look at verse 54. The Bible says, and he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." Two words. Speaking to a daughter that has died. Two words. "Maid, arise." Look at verse 55. And her spirit came again. She arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. Folks, there's power in the Word of God. It's the most powerful thing on this planet. There's nothing of any more power than the Word of God. It can help you and strengthen you and settle you down. It can calm your nerves. It can give you peace. It can give you joy when everything inside of you seems like it's falling apart. The Word of God can do that. It's a shame when people get tragic news that they want to turn everywhere else to everything else other than the greatest resource they have at their disposal. Folks, we need the Word. And listen, this isn't always an easy thing that I'm talking about. We have to believe the Scripture even when it seems like the Scripture isn't right. You ever been in a situation where you know what the Bible says, but your situation makes it seem like the Bible is not right? You ever had that? Look at this thing right here, verse 50. He's just got the message that his daughter is dead. Jesus heard it. He answered him saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." They go on to the house, verse 52. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." Now he's been told to believe, verse 50, right? You believe. And here's this word, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." That's a situation where it'd be hard to believe, wouldn't it? Hard to believe what Jesus said, because he's got eyes. He's a sane man. He's not crazy. He sees her there. He knows that she's dead. But Jesus says, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." Sometimes you got to believe what the Bible says, even when it seems like the Bible is wrong. It's not always easy, but that's what you got to do. You read a promise in this book right here, even if everything swirling around in your life seems to say that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, you got to hold on to that promise and know that whatever God says is right. You got to have the Scripture. Here's the last thing, and I'll be done. This message may not be helping any of you. It may not mean anything to you. Maybe some of you've never been in a situation like this. One day in your life, this message is going to mean something to you. I promise you. Number three, this is essential when you get that message you never want. Not only do you have to have the Savior in the Scripture, but you got to have separation. Separation. Now, I'm not talking here about separation from the world and standards. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about separation from certain people that will only serve to drag you down. Look here in this passage, verse 51. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter, James, and John. Just those three of his disciples. But then it says, and the father and the mother of the maiden. Those were the only ones that were actually present when Jesus raised this daughter from the dead. Look at verse number 52. All wept and bewailed her, but he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." Verse 53, and they laughed him to scorn. This is not talking about the ones mentioned in verse 51. It's talking about the ones in verse 52 that were weeping and bewailing, the ones that were there, friends, acquaintances, maybe other family members that had gathered. When Jesus said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth," all those people laughed at him. They didn't believe him. They laughed him to scorn. You know what he did to that bunch? That bunch of skeptics? That bunch of doubters? You know what he did to that bunch? Next verse 54. And he put them all out. He got that bunch out of there. You know why? You don't need that crowd around. Listen to me, folks. There's just certain people you don't need in your life. You hear me? There's certain people you don't need to surround yourself with, especially when you've gotten a message that you didn't want to get. You're going to have to back away from some people at times like this. To survive, you must separate yourself from those that would bring you down or push you farther down. The doubters, the skeptics, the deniers, the downers, I like to call them. I don't know if they still do. I'm out of the loop now. Thank God I'm out of the loop. But back when I was a teenager and doing some of the things I did, they referred to certain drugs as uppers and some as downers. Y'all remember that? I know that, but I do. You know what some saved people are? I'm telling you, God's honest truth. I've been in the ministry for over 26 years. I've been dealing with folks just like you for over 26 years. They some saved people who are downers. That's all they ever have been. And unless God works a miracle, that's all they ever shall be. They're just downers. They're always on the negative, always focused on what can't be done, what won't be done, the probability that it'll never happen. You got to get away from those downers, those people that seem to have the spiritual gift of discouragement. You ever met them kind? It really seems like some people have the spiritual gift of discouragement. You get around them and you need an uplift, you need something positive, but all they want to do is discourage you. Those who dwell on the negative, those that will put you on or keep you on the pity pot, those kind of people. The ones that just want to sit around for hours and hours and talk about negative, bad stuff all the time. You've got to get away from that bunch. Those people will serve you no good at all. There's plenty of these type of people. Just about the time you start feeling better, they'll come along and suck the life right back out of you. Y'all know I'm telling the truth, don't you? Just suck the life out of you. About the time you get some peace, been struggling, turmoil, raging inside of you. About the time you start getting your feet back on the ground, getting your emotions under control, experiencing that peace that passeth all understanding, boom, there they are. Just suck the life out of you, the peace out of you, the joy out of you. Just rip every bit of it out of you. Do y'all know, and I'm sorry to have to admit this, there's a person that I visit regular, and God is my witness. I hate going to see this person. I hate it. There ain't a thing inside me that likes to go see this person. When that thing's over and I get back to the truck, I'm like, hallelujah, that's over. Now that's carnal, isn't it? That's wicked. I'm sorry. Throw a stone at me, help yourself, but y'all know y'all the same way, don't you? There's certain people, you know, these people, because from the time I sit down to the time I leave, it's just one gripe and one complaint and one bellyache the whole time. I am so depressed when I leave there, I don't ever want to go back again. Why does anybody want to live that way? I don't understand it. It's like they're miserable and they want everybody else in the world to be miserable right along with them. You know the best thing you can do? Get away from them. Get away from that bunch. If I thought I could get away with it, I'd get away. But I'm telling you, if I got away, it'd be on Facebook, "Brother Keith, don't come see me no more," and all that. Y'all better pray for me, because I about had enough and don't care, all right? I'll suck it out of you. But here's this, and I got to say this, and I know y'all want me to quit. I'm going to say this, though, before I stop. When I talk about separation, I'm not talking about solitude. I'm not talking about isolation. I'm not talking about you getting away from everybody, because that is definitely not what you need to do. You don't need to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Look, another of the great resources God has provided for us on this earth to help us through tragic times is the saints of God. While some of them are hard to deal with, I still maintain that the greatest people on this earth are God's people. And there are Christian folk that will love you and will care for you and that will encourage you and will build you up and will pray with you and pray for you and will help you make it through those dark times in life. Those are the kind of people you need to be around. Do you know there's people in this world, no matter what you'll ever experience down the road from right now, there's somebody somewhere that's been where you're going to be. And God ascends some of those people that have had a tragedy just like you've experienced to wrap their arms around you and love on you and pray for you. And they'll be there, just give you their presence and let you know that they'll do anything they can to help you. Those are the kind of people you need to surround yourself with. But when you get that message that you never want, and there's somebody you know they're just negative and down and they don't believe the word of God, no matter how much they go to church, no matter how much they praise Jesus, if they don't believe what this Bible says, and it's a spirit of cynicism and negativity, whatever that word is, all the time, get away from that bunch. Because all they're going to do is tear you down. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you.